fleeting glimpses of things seen through a veil, darkly. Do we understand the meaning of these visions of life? Why we are here and how little of our existence we truly understand? Tonight we will talk of these things on The Other Side. Welcome to The Other Side. I am Jim Harold. So glad to be with you once again. And I love these shows where we have things that impact everybody, because maybe not everybody sees a ghost or a UFO or different things, but we all dream. And today we have a great guest who is going to talk to us about dreams and what they mean. She has a new book out. It's called Dream Interpretation for Beginners, Understanding the Wisdom of Your Sleeping Mind. And our guest is Diane Brandon, and she's been working professionally with her intuition as an integrative intuitive counselor since 1992 and has been teaching others how to access intuitive information on demand since 1996. She also teaches classes and seminars on dreams, personal empowerment, creativity, and listening skills, in addition to wellness classes, and offers corporate consulting. She's the author of Dream Interpretation for Beginners, Intuition for Beginners, and Invisible Blueprints, and is a contributing author to The Long Way Around and Speaking Out. Her private work with clients focuses on facilitating personal development and life fulfillment, and she brings dream work, guided meditation, regression, natural process healing, and other modalities into her work. She has made 3 meditation CDs and hosts a radio show, Naturally Vibrant Living. She has an AB from Duke University and did her master's work at the University of North Carolina. We are so glad to have her on the program. She's a professional actor, singer, and voiceover artist, so she's a Renaissance woman. But today the subject is dreams. Diane, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's wonderful to be here.
So, dreams. I think there's this thought that I've heard people say that it's the mind's filing system. It's kind of like, and you have a garbage bin, and you know, things, you file some things, you throw things in the garbage bin, and that's why we dream. That's kind of a materialistic view of it. Do you think that's an inaccurate view? Do you think dreams mean something else? I'm guessing that you do.
Well, actually, I feel like that is only one part of what can go on when we dream. What I have found, Jim, and I've been working with dreams and reading sleep and dream research, boy, since the early 70s, is that there's a whole lot of different things that can go on while we're dreaming. And that filing system aspect is only one small part. So yes, that is legitimate. But, you know, it's not the whole picture. It's really not the whole picture. There's so many different things that can go on in dreams. We can be working on personal growth issues. We can be, part of our consciousness can be off exploring other times and other places. We can be getting precognitive psychic information in our dreams. We can be communicating with other people in our dreams. We can solve problems in our dreams. There are spiritual aspects. We can be getting guidance. So, you know, we put the term dream on this whole big set of different things going on, if that makes sense.
Where does the power of dreams emanate from? Is it some universal life force? Is it a higher being? Is it our collective consciousness? Where do dreams come from other than just our brain?
You know, and that's an excellent question, Jim. I feel that dreams can come from a whole bunch of different places. And, you know, one of them is from outside of us. I mean, we can be getting dreams and dream content, you know, from guides, from the divine, from passed on loved ones. Some dreams will come merely from our unconscious, as that part of our minds is kind of working on things. Dreams can come from our higher soul awareness. Dreams can even come from something going on in our body. You know, like when we have a bathroom dream.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
you know, or external conditions. So dreams can come from other people. If somebody is communicating with us in our dreams, whether they are just sending us information or whether we are actually talking to them in our dreams, a two-way communication. So, you know, again, dreams are beautifully complex. And, you know, our human minds want to take it and put it down all to one little simple thing to understand. But to me, that's the beauty of dreams, is that they can be so complex. There can be so many different sources. You know, that's one thing I try to tackle in the book and to share with people is how complex dreams are and how much we can respect them and how many gifts they can give us in our lives. We can use them as a tool.
It seems to me that the assumption of most people is when they're dreaming that this is all taking place physically in their bed. They're laying in all these visions of sugar plums are coming through their brain, or sometimes not so much sugar plums, maybe some more frightening things. But
yes.
Is there an astral travel component of this? In other words, do you spiritually travel somewhere sometimes in dreams?
Yes, you can. And that can be your consciousness traveling, or it can be, you know, astral body traveling. So yes, that is indeed one thing that can happen in dreams. And I think, Jim, a lot of us have tended to think of that, you know, sugar plum concept where we're dreaming about things.
Mm-hmm.
But some dreams are also actual experiences. So they're not just dreaming about, we're experiencing things. Because when we're sleeping, you know, parts of our human brain and mind are turned off, especially, you know, that critical part, you know, the neocortex. And to me, when we're sleeping, we're not here, you know, we're not in our typical mode in our three-dimensional reality.
Mm-hmm.
We are less bounded in our dreams. And I'll share with you that I have always loved to sleep because
Me
I'm
too.
Not here. Yeah, we're not here. It's the closest we can come while we're here on Earth to not being here, to accessing those other levels. I'm a little strange because I've always remembered what I thought when I was born. And I was not happy to be here again. And I think that's another reason why I've loved to sleep, because I'm not here. So yes, we can definitely travel in our dreams, you know, whether it's in our consciousness or our astral bodies. And we can go to other lifetimes. I mean, I'm sure you've had past life dreams. I've had past life dreams. You know, we can visit other places. So we're not bounded in the same way.
What about lucid dreaming?
Lucid dreaming is interesting. And you know, one can use lucid dreaming. I feel that it is the strongest or the most beneficial in trying to tackle fears. I mean, some people have more nightmares. I very, very rarely have a nightmare, but if you have nightmares or bad dreams, you can use lucid dreaming to face those fears and actually try to heal them or conquer them. I think lucid dreaming can also come into play when you are traveling to other places.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I feel that it's good to let your dreams unfold, especially if you're having dreams that are working on personal issues, because your unconscious will actually work on things, can heal things. If you're having a dream which is a communication, lucid dreaming may make it more vivid or more real for you. So I personally feel that there are types of dreams where lucid dreaming is more beneficial, and other types of dreams or other things going on where it may be best just to let your dream unfold.
So the question of dream interpretation, you know, you look these things up and, you know, people have dreams that their teeth are falling out and that's supposed to mean one thing. Another common dream, from what I understand, is the feeling that you're going back to school, but you've come the day of the test and you're not prepared. Some of these very common dreams. Is it true that some of these kind of archetypal dreams mean one specific thing, or is that an oversimplification?
You know, there are different schools of thought about that, Jim. I personally do not subscribe to, you know, the thought that there's a particular type of dream that always means one thing. And that's because as I've worked with dreams over the years, interpreting clients' dreams, what I have found is that if a dream is originating from your unconscious, it's going to have your vocabulary, your symbols will have certain meanings for you.
Right.
Because the way our minds work, especially our unconscious, if you think of stream of consciousness, if you think of connotations, if you think of all the experiences we have as individuals have had, a symbol in a dream will have a certain meaning for us that it may not have for other people. I remember a dream that I had years ago, back in the late 80s, early 90s, and there were coins buried in the backyard. If you took out a dream dictionary, go, okay, coins, that means wealth, you know, et cetera, et cetera. However, at that point in my life, my father had been collecting coins. So for me, that symbol of coins had a connotation associated with my father. Would not get that from a dream dictionary.
Right.
That said, and so again, if a dream is coming from your unconscious, it will usually have your individual meanings attached to the symbol. Now, I have found some symbols that tend to be a little more universal. For example, if you dream about a house, that could imply your mind. It's where we live, because your unconscious loves puns and it loves to represent things in a picture in your dream.
Okay.
Or it could be somebody else's mind. It's where somebody lives. If you're in a car, it could be where you're headed in life. But your unconscious also loves those puns and plays on words. So going back to the car again, if you have a dream and you're in a car, theoretically it's your car in the dream.
Right.
And you're in the back seat and you're trying to control the car, it could mean that you're not in the driver's seat in your life. See, your unconscious just loves puns. So, you know, I think we all, Jim, want, our society is so rushed. We want things fast. We want it now. We want that 25 words or less, you know, way of understanding the dream. To me, you don't get the true meaning of a dream if you're looking for your dream mean the same thing as everybody else's dream. And if you're not taking the time to parse out the meaning of those symbols for yourself. So it's really a matter of personal choice. But I have seen in interpreting dreams over the years, this richness when we try to figure out what each symbol means to the person. And you can always tell when you've got the right interpretation or interpretations, because any dream can have more than one meaning.
Right.
That's valid for the dreamer. When the light bulb goes off and you get this, sort of moment. And I feel that it's really worth taking the time, as opposed to pulling out a dream dictionary and trying to put your dream content in this kind of generalized pot.
So let's say that someone's a neophyte. They're interested in the concept of dream interpretation. Mm-hmm. They have no idea how to start. Certainly, I'm sure that picking up the book would be a good first step. But what are some of the things we can talk about now, some of the kind of baby steps in easing into interpreting your own dreams?
I would say one of the first things you want to look at is whether the dream felt meaningful to you or not. Because some people feel that there's so much value in understanding your dreams that they try to analyze, interpret each one. Not every dream will have important content for you. So that's one step. The next step is to try to identify how you felt in the dream. You know, did you feel fearful in the dream? Did you feel positive in the dream? Did the dream feel that it was literal, or did it feel that it was symbolic? Did it have a lot of symbols in it? You can ask yourself, which area of your life did the dream relate to? Did it feel that the information was coming from you? Did it feel that it was coming from someone else? So these are little places to start. Another place to start would even be starting to write your dreams down. Starting a dream journal would be very helpful to do. And
mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Another baby step would be with a dream that seemed really bizarre is to remind yourself that it had meaning and to take baby steps with the symbols in a dream. When I think of points, for example, what do I think of?
Right.
And those are some baby steps to start with. You don't want to start with the whole enchilada because it can be overwhelming. But those are some first steps to take, I feel.
The general person who doesn't do these things like dream journaling and so forth, is there any research that's been done as to the question of what percentage of our dreams we forget?
I have read some of that, Jim, and I can't quote the figures right now. But usually when we wake up within approximately 5 seconds, we will have forgotten, I forget what the figure is, 80 to 90% of a dream. And we know, research has shown, that we are dreaming unless there's a physical abnormality. Some medications may interfere with dreaming. And we also know that we tend to remember a dream when our consciousness shifts while we're dreaming, we turn over. So that means that a lot of the dreams that we have, we don't even remember. We don't even start to remember. So I would say the dreams that we do remember are a fraction of the dreams that we have. And we can also dream in the deeper levels of sleep when we're not going to remember things. You know, when we're really dead out, so to speak, sleeping really soundly. You can have dreams in that stage, but, you know, we don't tend to remember those. Dreaming just seems to be an activity that is unavoidable, you know, while we're sleeping. So, yes, unless a person wakes up a lot, you know, while they're sleeping, they're going to not remember most of the dreams. And I also feel that if a dream is really significant for us, we tend to remember it.
Is there an environment, something we can foster, a way we can foster an environment to promote meaningful dreams?
That's an excellent question, Jen. I would say, number one, we want to be open to the whole idea of dreaming. We want to be receptive to the richness that dreams can bring to us. I would also say, you know, it's like incubating a dream. You know, before you go to sleep, you remind yourself. For example, if you wanted to have a dream about solving a certain problem, because we've all had the experience of going to bed with something on our minds that we're trying to figure out and waking up in the morning and feeling that we know the answer.
Right.
So similar, and you can incubate those dreams before you go to sleep by thinking, I really want to get an answer to such and such. You can also incubate meaningful dreams, even if you don't know, you know, what the dream would be about. So that when you're going to sleep,
mm-hmm.
you just remind yourself, I really want to have meaningful, significant dreams tonight, at least one dream,
mm-hmm.
and be very, very open to that possibility, because I'm a firm believer that if there's something we really want for our higher good, the universe is going to get that to us. It's more when we're closed down that we may not get it. So if we're open and receptive, and it's something we really want, I feel that that will happen, especially in the area, you know, with spiritual dreams and dreams about personal unfolding and growth. So that's what I would recommend.
In terms of misconceptions, what are some of the big misconceptions about dreaming?
Well, the first one is that dreams are just these idle ramblings of our brain while we're sleeping, and
right.
no meaning or
well, you could understand how people would think that, though, because some things, you know, you're flying on a banana, you know, through the Houston Astrodome while wearing a cowboy hat. I mean, you know, just weird stuff. So you can understand why somebody would think something like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, in our human waking minds, yeah, we go, well, that just doesn't make sense. It's just too weird. So I think it's really having to understand the vocabulary of your dreams, because it's a different, your unconscious has a different vocabulary. It works very differently from your conscious mind. And other misconceptions, Well, one might be that, you know, one couldn't possibly have a dream about the future, or one couldn't possibly, you know, explore past lives in dreams. Those are definitely misconceptions. And I wouldn't say this is a misconception, but I think this is really interesting. I think we tend to feel that everybody may dream in similar ways. That's not true. We all have our own style of dreaming, you know, our own individual style of dreaming. Boy, I'm trying to think of other misconceptions about dreams. I think you stumped me with that one.
Oh, success. Now, I know sometimes this can involve medical issues and things, so I always want to be careful about those kind of things. But what do you do if you have a lot of nightmares?
Nightmares, I feel, and I don't believe in absolutes, that it's always the case, but I feel that nightmares most of the time are going to be about our own fears and unresolved issues. And I'm a firm believer in using our dreams as tools. If a dream has presented to us that there is something in us that is out of balance, like a fear that keeps getting expressed in nightmares.
Right.
It's trying to tap us on the shoulder and go, excuse me, could you look at this please and work on it? And so then you want to follow up on the information that your dream or your nightmare is giving you. there's one example that I use in the book of somebody who had nightmares, you know, for years. But it turned out that the person had been really abused as a child and had never gotten therapy.
Oh, my.
And so the dream, the nightmares were trying to go, excuse me, you know, this is still there inside of you, bothering you. And until you shine a light on it and work on it, it's going to be affecting you. So that's the other part of dreams is, yeah, you want to understand them, interpret them. And then if there's a follow-up to do, then it would really be good to do that follow-up.
How can dreaming and dream interpretation and getting a handle on all of this, how can it enrich our lives?
Oh. How much time do we have, Jim?
This was going to be the last question. So you have some time.
Oh, dreams can give us so much information about so many different things. If we are spiritual, they can give us spiritual information. They can give us insights for our path in life. And that can be because we're getting information from guides. We are communicating with passed on loved ones. We can have dreams that are spiritual. There's one I cite in the book where the dreamer was taken to other levels on the other side and shown different things. We can get information on our personal growth, because my sense, Jim, is that one of the things that really blocks us from going to higher levels spiritually is our human stuff that has not been worked on. So dreams can give us information on what to focus on, what to work on, that can free us to go to those higher levels, or what I call our higher soul awareness. Dreams can actually help us with problem solving. We touched on that a little earlier, where you can incubate a dream because there's a problem you're working on. However, your dreams can work on things, problems, things that you're trying to figure out, and give you the answer, even without your incubating it directly. Dreams can give you information about health. Dreams can help you to explore other levels in life spiritually. They can help you to explore past lives. So there is just so much information we can get in dreams. And, you know, I think this is obvious to some of us, but dreams can just let us know that our conscious waking reality is not the only reality there is. And so if we are spiritual, paying attention to our dreams can just allow us to know and to explore all that other part of reality that is not part of our three-dimensional conscious reality.
Now, I lied. That was not the last question.
Oh, that's okay.
What's maybe a favorite anecdote? It could be yourself. It could be your clients, as much as you can share. Obviously, their confidentiality there. But what's a favorite anecdote or story where dreams have just shown themselves to be so amazing?
I'd say there's so many of them, Jim, and I'm trying to think, because somebody told me, had a wonderful aha recently. And I think it had to do, it was fairly mundane. I think it had to do with even something that was like a lost object. and she just wasn't getting the message. And then she finally got the message. It was a dream she had more than once. There's another example that I cite in the book that's very, very touching, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with this recurring dream this person had as a very, very young child. And in the dream, he was, I'm trying to remember how he described the dream, but it was like there was this blast of bright light, and then his skin was burning.
Mm-hmm.
There were other aspects of the dream. And I really felt that it was a past life dream of having gone through a nuclear bomb, like the end of World War II, which was horrific, absolutely horrific. And I interpreted his dream on a dream group that I have on Facebook. But when the book came out and he read the book, he had another aha.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it had to do with some of what I wrote about the interpretation. How could a young child actually know what the physical effects of an atomic bomb would be, unless he or she had experienced it? And he said it brought tears to his eyes, and he remembered that his mother had told him that when he was really little, he had talked about having lived in Japan.
Oh, my.
So you can get a huge aha. And I think for him, it was touching. I think it actually represented a layer of healing, you know, from that experience. And there have been other examples, but that one touched me. That one really, and it touched him too. It touched him too.
Well, it's been a captivating conversation today. Very interesting stuff. And as I said at the beginning, something that relates to us all. So where can people find the book, this book on dream interpretation? And then also, where can they find everything else that you do? Because I know you do more than just dream work.
Well, the book is Dream Interpretation for Beginners. You can find it in bookstores. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online. It's available hard copy and ebook. And people can go to my website, which is dianebrandon.com, dianebrandon.com. My website has my contact information, and it has information on all the work I do. And all I would like to do, Jim, is to encourage your listeners to really pay attention to your dreams and mine all the richness that they can and use them as a wonderful tool in their lives.
The book is Dream Interpretation for Beginners. Understand the Wisdom of Your Sleeping Mind. Dianne Brandon, thank you for joining us today on
Thank
The
you.
Other Side.
Thank you, Jim.
And thank you for tuning in. We certainly appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.